Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Today we are in Minneapolis exploring a classic old school dive, over 100 years old, regulars that have been there for eons, and a bartender who started as a patron and then got behind the stick and is now after, I guess you'll hear this in the interview, it took 6 years to become accepted as a bartender, even though they were a patron first. We're going to talk to Claire Swenson about her time at Palmer's in Minneapolis and the stories around that, but also about her foray into her new band where she plays the chicken. Yeah, it's a rubber chicken. I'm so intrigued. So enjoy this one.
Hi, I'm Claire. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I work at Palmer's Bar, Hook and Ladder, another venue in Minneapolis, and a place called The Wienery, Little Greasy Spoon in Minneapolis.
Nice. So you kind of do it all. But I wanted to talk to you mostly about Palmer's. Well, at least at the start, because we want to talk about you. This is really about you. But I came to you via Palmer's, which is one of those like crazy old historic dive bars, right? Can you tell me a little bit about Palmer's itself?
Well, first of all, I want to ask you, just so I know, have you been there?
No, I've never been to Minneapolis.
Okay.
Dying to.
And how do you know about Palmer's?
I dig into stuff like that. You know, it's like my wish list of places I want to go. I have a lot of wish lists, you know, I wish I could travel more than I could. And I always look up bars that I might want to check out. And I'm a music person. I love the fancy craft cocktail bars, but I also love a good dive bar, right?
Yep.
But I love historical spots. I really do. Especially, you know, I live in Los Angeles and people kind of laugh at us because we're only so old. So when we're like, that building is like 70 years old and everyone makes fun of us. So whenever I want to go somewhere else, I'm like, well, what are the old places around here too?
Yeah. You know, in the Midwest, it's like we would be laughed at by the people in the East Coast.
Yeah. But like, you get
what,
me
it's only
out
from
there.
1906?
This I bar know. See, to me, it's ancient. I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah, because 1906 is when it first opened, right?
Yeah. So Palmer's, as far as we know, has been a bar since 1906. And
I love that there's questions around that.
What's that?
I love that there are questions around it.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. I don't know. You know, because a lot of bars are like, we opened in 1932, like, or 33, whenever
Prohibition ended,
the
right?
Prohibition ended, it was opened by Grain Belt Premium. I'm not sure if you've heard of that beer.
No.
It's like a Midwest beer. But at the time, it was Minneapolis Brewing Company. And it was a time when breweries would open up bars. I don't know if that exists, like where you're from. It's like a brewery, they build the bars, you can own the bar, but then you lease the bar from the brewery and you just sell their beer. So it was a Grain Belt bar. And the tiles in the bar were made in the brewery, which is pretty
Ooh,
cool.
cool. That's way cool.
Yeah. So, and for a while, I don't know, I can't remember when the names changed, but it was Carl's Bar for a while. And then in the 50s, it's been started to be Palmer's. Been Palmer's ever since. And we had an owner a couple years ago when he bought it. He actually got a letter from, like, I think she was like one of the first people that were working at the bar. Like, she's like 100 years old, sent him an email,
Oh,
like,
oh my
I'm
God,
so
that's so
glad you
cool.
bought the bar, you know?
That's awesome.
But I started hanging out at Palmer's in 2008 is when I moved to Minneapolis, like for good. I moved there before, moved here before, but and that's when I discovered the West Bank, and it just kind of became my home. That's where Palmer's is located. And made friends with the boss, started having art shows there, and I, like all my jobs, I just hung out until they hired me. And it's not just a bias thing, it really is my favorite bar, and it's you can feel how old it is, and you can feel the community. And it just doesn't, I just don't think that exists everywhere. Like, people take that for granted, you know. I try not to take it for granted
It's
anymore.
definitely something that needs to be developed, right? And it takes a good crew of people, you know, a nice crew of trustworthy people to be able to develop something like that. Was that your first bartending gig, or did you bartend elsewhere before you wound up in
That was
Minneapolis for
my
good?
first, that is my first bartending gig.
Wow. So you started bartending there, and that's where you've been, huh?
Yeah,
So
it's a kind of coveted job because it's pretty, like, it's laid back, the money is good, and just like this historical place, you know.
So did you work in music at all before that? Because you're a music guy,
I
music
am a
person.
music guy. I was a cook though forever,
Oh,
and I was
really?
having a hard time getting out of the cook business, like being a line cook, and I'd apply to be a bartender and be like, well, we're not hiring bartenders, but we have a kitchen position open. Like,
You're
oh.
like, all right, fine, God
And
damn
I still
it.
do cook, but just at one day at this place called the Wienery, which is right next to Palmer's. That's been a Greasy Spoon. So it's been the Wienery since 84. So it's another like historical
That's awesome.
place. So I have all like the cool jobs, apparently.
Well, so then what was bartending for the first time like for you when you started there?
It was really hard, like the bartending, like serving drinks is easy. It's like, especially the drinks that we served, like two ingredient drinks, you know, we're not making fancy cocktails. Like it used to be, there's a story about like people like, what, you know, I'll have like a margarita. They're like, Jameson. For a while, we were like the number one seller of like the top 10, at least seller of Jameson in the country.
Was that the
Yeah, so
default
like
if
the
somebody
learning.
asked for something fancy? Just said, okay, can I get Jameson? That's so great.
But learning how to make the drinks was not hard. It's learning how to work with people, and then also a place that old who has a lot of old patrons who don't want other people to come into their space really, or they have a hard time. Like,
Oh, interesting.
basically, I worked at Palmer's for 6 years before I wasn't the new guy.
So then when you were, so you being there and mixing drinks for people, this is really interesting because a lot of times I like to talk with people about their experience, like learning about spirits, you know, and all this, but this isn't that kind of bar. This is like a shot in a beer kind of bar. And like, you know, like you said, I would walk in there and I would order a, like probably a 7 and 7 is probably what I would order in there.
Well,
Is
so we actually don't carry
that
Seagram's anymore.
too, oh, then I'd do a ginger whiskey. Is that too
And
fancy?
but I want to tell you a story about Seagram's, because like there's a bartender that he's technically still employed. He had health problems, so he doesn't work there anymore. But I was in there one day, and these old guys came in. They're like, oh, we haven't been to Palmer's for years. They're very excited to be there, and they ordered, can I get a 7 and 7? He's like, we don't carry Seagram's anymore. And they're like, what? And he goes, yeah, everybody that ordered it died. The guy was like, yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right.
I guess I'm an old person at heart.
Yeah, I think you. I was actually born an 85-year-old man, so.
I used to DJ at this punk rock bar in Hollywood, but just early 2000s. And I guess before that, they had one in the Bay Area where I used to live. The same owners. They had one up there and one down here, and I DJed there too. And that was all I would drink. And they just served me seven and sevens in like pint glasses, you know, because that way I didn't have to leave my booth, you know, to go do
Oh
anything.
yeah, very nice.
But that was like it all night. So I'm all, ah, this is just my go-to. So that's really hilarious. I'm not dead yet.
Yeah.
Jeez. So it sounds like when you started bartending that you guys are at, I use guys like dude, just, you know, it's the all over inclusive term, that everyone who works at Palmer's knows it's not necessarily about the drinks. It's about like the hospitality. Yet, like
Oh
your
yeah.
version of hospitality. So when you were saying, oh, I had to learn how to, you know, deal with that, what were some, like, I don't know, what were some challenges at the beginning for that? I mean, you hung out there for a long
Well,
time, so you probably saw stuff go down.
so I've always been a people person. So like socially, maybe it wasn't really that hard, but it was really just the specifically getting in with like the regulars. Like I don't know, like people are kind of like, do we trust this person, you know,
Well,
or
here's a
something like
question for
that?
you. Did they know you as a regular before you started working there? Some of these folks.
Yeah, a little bit, but I was also really young, you know, and sometimes old people don't.
Yeah.
But
And that could be kind of suspect too. They're like, oh, what are you doing on
but
this side of the bar now?
yeah,
You know?
but it's funny though, because I've always felt so comfortable, like with like, it started out doing day shifts, like all the old timers are there, and I'm like, I
The
fit
ones
right
whose
in.
butts have like just carved a place in the stool, right?
Yeah. I have all the terrible jokes that they love, and
That's awesome. But now you're doing nighttime too. Now this place, Palmer's, has music also, right?
yep.
It's a live music venue. So
Yeah.
what's how's that? I mean, I'm assuming the regulars aren't around for that as much.
Yeah, so I mean they are and they aren't. Like we try to let, even if there's a cover, we try to let people in. Like there's certain people that don't have to pay the cover. They're gonna be there anyway.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's nice.
And that's also always a challenge. But especially since after COVID, we've been having shows in the patio, and we have a great stage, and it's positioned in between like a couple buildings, so it has the ability of sounding like you're inside, but you're outside.
Oh, that's kind of
Because, you
cool.
know, like I never really like outdoor shows because the sound just like
It just
goes.
kind of melts away.
Sounds awful, but this patio is great. So especially right after COVID, we really killed it because there weren't anybody doing shows or able to do shows. And for a brief period, we had to do like maximum of 60 people and no dancing.
Right. Everyone had to
Like I once
stand.
almost had to tell like some grandparents are watching their grandkid like play and they started dancing. Like
Oh, no.
I'm not gonna yell at them to not dance.
Well, since there's music there and you're a music person, I'd love to know about you and music. Like, did you ever play music, or are you just a huge lover of
Yeah,
music?
so I've just been into like when I was a little kid, well, little kid, like a teenager, living in southern Minnesota, there was not a lot of culture. So I'd listen to like the local college radio station, weird stuff on PBS, and I literally like remember the music programs like on like the schedule on KMSU in Mankato. My parents are into music, but they liked music, you know, rather than like wanting to go further. So I was just into like collecting records and finding really weird stuff mainly. And currently I am in a band called Wet Denim.
Ooh,
I'd
wait.
never been in a band before, and finally befriended somebody, and I had that name, and he's like, "Yeah, let's do it." So,
White denim?
Wet Denim.
Wet denim. Okay, I was like, isn't there a
Not
white denim? I think there's a white
there.
denim.
Yes, there is, and they're from Texas. But if you come to our show thinking we're White Denim, that's fine.
I like wet denim though. That's very
Yeah.
old school 501s, you know, that whole.
Yeah. It also gets through you. People usually react like, "Oh."
Did you ever see Quadrophenia, the movie
I
Quadrophenia?
I did not all the way through. I feel like I saw clips of it. It's like a
There's a
Who
bit, yeah, it's the Who. There's a
movie,
bit at
like.
the beginning though, where like the main kid is walking around in his wet denim, in his wet 401s,
Yeah.
and his parents are making fun of him, and he's like, "They shrink to fit." Like he's trying to
Oh,
explain
yeah,
it.
sure.
That's awesome. So wait, what do you play in wet denim?
I play a rubber chicken.
Oh my God.
And no one believes me. I also write the songs, and I'm like the front man, and I sing and stuff, but my main thing is I play the rubber chicken.
I need to know more. I need it's like
Oh.
just a squeaky. Is there
Hold on one
I'm
second.
like, is the rubber chicken nearby?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh my God, there are multiple rubber chickens.
Oh yeah. This one I'm pretty sure has COVID, so
We have a COVID
sorry.
rainbow rubber chicken.
Yeah, that one is not, it's not the best, but he's also been
Amazing.
sitting in a corner for a very long time, the very end of the corner. But
And then a
that
hot
was
pink. Then we have a my wow. Just give him a squeeze. I need to hear this.
But yeah,
Oh my
yeah, you have
God.
like different. So that's.
I can see the value though. I definitely can
Yeah.
see the value or hear the value as it were. That's amazing. Okay, so when did you first start singing and writing music then? Always.
Well, for In Wet Denim, we've been a band since like 2018. And I've always like written like poetry and tried to write songs, but it's like now it's like happening easier because I'm in a band. But I just happen to ended up with band members where we just come up with stuff so easily, and it's very organic, and
Oh, it's
I would not
amazing.
want to be in a musical project that was anything else.
Yeah, well, why not? You want it to be fun. You want to be able to
Yeah,
express
yeah.
yourself and have it be
I just think
fun.
it doesn't always come that easy, and
Yeah.
people don't like people just like will make music without it being fun, and that sounds terrible.
That does sound absolutely terrible. I mean, one of the whole things is, it kind of like you hanging out at a bar, which is, a place where you kind of go to get away from work or get away from home or whatever. You're going there for a different reason, have another space. And, if you're listening to music, you're trying to give yourself a little gift somehow too, right? It's helping you like express yourself in some way or just calming you down or whatever. But, there's something to it. So, okay, so you've been a music person for a long time, and I took a look at your playlist and I'm like, oh, here we go. This is that left of the dial, which I love, like late 70s, early 80s, kind of alternative stuff. Was that kind of, is that when you really got grabbed by the musical bug? Was around that time?
Well, I mean, I guess that's an era that I go back to, but I don't know. It's hard to say. Like I've actually thought about making a playlist of, and I want everybody to make a playlist of your musical journey, of like the first thing you can remember listening to.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, and then like eventually it's like the thing you consciously decided to listen to.
Yeah. I've
It's
kind
like
of
for
done
me,
that.
it's
I'm
like,
gonna send mine to you because I did kind of do that once. Somebody
oh, I
asked
would
me to
love that.
do it. It was kind of like the tracks that I remember first, sort of that has still stay with me, and then when I first became obsessed, so kind of that
Yeah.
sort of thing. Yeah.
Well,
So
so there's a couple of things. Like the first, like we had. Our living room is like falling apart, and I just remember like very little running around it. And there was a turntable, Michael Jackson's Thriller, and Rumors, which Wayne's World, they make a joke like I'm pretty sure every single house was government issued Rumors, in the Muppet Show record.
Oh, I got a Disney
But
record in one of my formatives, so.
then, I have like certain landmarks of like, well, like when I was like six or seven, seeing My Name is Mud by Primus
Oh, wow.
on MTV, and it might have been in 120 minutes, watching it with my grandma. My grandma doesn't know. Like I'm just watching it 'cause it's
Yeah.
cool,
Yeah. Well, you were up late too if you're watching 120 minutes.
Well, that might not, that must have been, was that a late night show?
I think so.
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was on late-ish
Was it?
anyway, I
This
think.
instance, I think, was earlier in the day, but I just remember seeing Les Claypool and like, this is great, this is weird, I want more, and I want weirder.
My name is Mud. used to be the jack of Peter Pan's. My name is Bud. It's always been. Cause I'm the boring son's bitch you've ever seen. I dress in blue, yes, they blue. From head to toe, brother, grab a ship, my bad shoes.
And also, in the same time, Jane's Addiction caught stealing. That video was on. But then, like, my first, I remember, like, the first time I heard the Talking Heads in junior high, like, and the Windows CD, like, compilation disc that came with those computers. I don't know if you ever remember that, but, like, I was in a library, like, in my study hall, and headphones on, and I'm, like, singing, like, yelling to Psycho Killer. My friends are like, the Talking Heads Remain in Light, my first album that I bought on my own, my first record anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Also Kiss Alive.
Those are your first records that you got for yourself?
Yeah.
Those, and they're like, I was going to say, but those were like kind of, by the time you bought them, because that would have been what, in the 90s when you got those?
That was like very early 2000. Oh, 99, yeah. 2000.
Yeah. So those records had already been around for a little while. That's like, you know, I'm trying to think, like, because I was like in college with 120 minutes and stuff. So I feel like the first 45 I paid money for was an ABBA single. I was like seven. You know, yeah. So, and I still have it. I still have that single.
What was the single?
Take a Chance on Me.
My favorite ABBA song. I got that, the best of ABBA, when I was like in the fifth grade.
Right. Yeah. ABBA's a huge band with my family. So, you know, I think I bought that. But what's funny is now my favorite ABBA song is Waterloo. But
Gimme.
Oh, there's so many good ones. So many good ones. They're undeniable.
But I got like really into like the Spanish versions of the songs.
See, and that's the thing, is the reason why they were big in my family was because my mom was Spanish. So we had the Spanish and the English versions.
Oh, that's awesome.
And my mom used to always talk about how great they were because they also sang in French and they also sang in Swedish. And she thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah,
and German.
It's really cool. But like so many bands are doing that. And like, mm-hmm. it's like wild to me to think that like, you know, like the Beatles, I heard like a German song with it. Mm-hmm. It's like, because in Germany, at least they're like, well, it's going to sell better if you're singing a German. So like, not only are you this super talented band, they'd be like, but also you have to like, you want to sing in this other language.
I know.
It's incredible to me.
And you know that it's like all phonetic. Yeah, so challenging. So let's talk about Wet Denim then, since this is your first band, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, we know you like weird, but we also know you like melodic and everything. So what is Wet Denim like? Do you guys have anything out?
I'm still struggling to describe. I like to say art rock, because then we can do whatever we want, but also country tinge.
Oh, so it's got a twang.
Yeah, I have a little, like as a kid, I, you know, disliked country because I was into punk rock. But my mom loved pop country. And then now I'm just like, well, I only like Johnny Cash. Well, I only like, but it's like, yeah, I actually like it all. Like,
well, I mean, by now you've seen all the punk rockers that went country. You know, was like, it was kind of in there anyway. And it's kind of something, we were so rebellious in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And then by like the mid-2000s or by the mid-90s, it was like, oh, they're all doing country music now. But it wasn't. It still got attitude and stuff. You know, they just brought that twang up.
I mean, all the genres, when people write off entire genres, it like cracks me up. It's like, they're all so close together, you know? Anyway.
So then you say art rock, but what do you think, you know, is it like a Ween thing? Is it like a Primus thing?
I've heard of, Devo. I've heard Devo as a descriptor for us. I love Ween. I don't know if I would say Ween or not. It's just really hard. But like, we'll have a country song. We have one song that's called Long Way, just because it sounds like Long Way by AC/DC. One of her songs, and this one was like, it's a little scary to perform at first because it's called Make America Wet Again. And it's a joke. Like, we're not Trump supporters. But the first time I played it, even at Palmer's, like, the crowd went, it wasn't the first time, but like, first time I played it there, the crowd went silent. And I'm like,
they didn't know what to do with
it. A joke, right?
Well, I guess that art rock is definitely a good way to put it then, if you're a little performative in this way.
it's all over the net.
Have you guys recorded anything, or is it just strictly live and local right now?
Well, it kind of is, because we've been trying to record this album for like 2 years, but we just we haven't done. You can, if you want to, go on YouTube, Wet Denim Minneapolis. You can find some videos of us playing.
Oh, I'm totally gonna check it out. So I need to see the chickens.
there's a really good performance of us playing behind the wienery. We played an outdoor show, and then there's a cameo by the Hawaiian Punch mascot named Punchy. I think his name is Punchy.
Mm-hmm.
We somehow acquired it, and one of our friends like made a guest appearance and like started like talking shit to us like while we were playing. And we gave out a bunch of free Hawaiian Punch.
That's awesome. So you do radio too, though, because you had sent me a link that you were doing a radio show from Palmer's. Now, is this like your own thing? What's your radio stuff?
Yeah, have you heard of Mixlr?
Mixlr. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's the thing that sucks about it is nobody knows what it is, but it's Mixlr. It's a online internet radio thing. I think a lot of radio stations, like if they have actual radio station, they'll play extra and just have it like so it's going online all the time.
Oh, okay.
But so I pay for a broadcast time. I get like 12 hours a day or something.
Oh my God. Do you use 12 hours a day?
No. At first it was 3 okay. hours, and then sometimes that was like not enough, and I just paid for the 12. I actually, soon in like a month or so, my 200th episode will be happening, and I'm going to do a 12-hour marathon where my friends can like come in, and maybe I'll put like a call out to anybody around the world or country or whatever who wants to request.
Take part. So what's your show called? Does it have a name?
Zeeks Art Radio Hour. It's my initial, Zeecsart Radio Hour.
Okay.
So if you just Google Z, or like go to Mixlr and Zeecsart, you'll find me.
Okay. So that I have to write that down for myself later, because you had sent me the link and you were doing it live from Palmer's last week, I think, right?
Yeah. And also on the link, you can find all my archive shows are on there as well.
That's awesome. So had you done it from Palmer's before?
Yeah. So actually last week was the last one that I was doing. I've been doing it for like a year, and it's just a pain in the ass to bring my computer there. just because I have my setup here, and then I have to take it and bring it there.
But was it like there when you were doing it? Were you actually playing it for people at the bar to hear, or is it just it was broadcast live at Palmer's?
Yeah. And the last one is really fun because there's people cheering and stuff. And
I was gonna say, do you bring on like do some regulars come on and chat a little bit?
That was my dream. But, like, I don't know, people get intimidated by that, it's like not as easy for everybody to just like walk up and start talking, or they get shy or whatever.
Yeah
I had a dream of like, I can have this customer come up and then they can play some songs, and it just never worked out, but maybe it will again in the future. But
did you ever get any of them to just sit there and maybe shoot the shit with you for a minute?
No.
One
person came up with out me wanting them to, and it was really of course that's how it works.
That can be amusing in and of itself.
I wasn't on the air when he was not mic'd. So we have a local radio station, a community radio station, KFAI.
Mm-hmm.
It's online. I recommend you check it out. It's great. And I've done some like what they call the Wave Project, where they do anybody can apply and you get a one-off show.
Oh, that's cool. So, like,
they give you an engineer and you don't even know how to do, even have to have know to. How to do anything.
You just come in there and just put one record on after another and you're good to go.
So I've done a couple of those, and I have some friends in KFAI. Every once in a while I'll like pop up in the show or like be a guest. And
that's awesome.
Actually,
so you're
was able to fill in for a show last year, which is really fun.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're very involved in the music scene then. Around
I try to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, are there, besides Wet Denim, can you recommend any other Minneapolis bands we should be looking into right now? Minneapolis has had historically some great music has come out of Minneapolis.
Yeah,
I mean,
do you have any favorites?
Gosh, I'm feeling like are the Replacements Minneapolis?
Yeah,
yeah, that's one. Is Husker Du Minneapolis or were they like
Yep.
Ohio? See, that's okay. That's what I thought. Those two come to mind, but I'm just gonna tell you, I'm terrible on game shows. So when somebody asks me a question, even if you ask me a question about like the day I was born, I will not answer correctly because I get stressed. So I'm surprised
Oh,
that I remembered those two
well,
things
that's usually me
correctly.
too. So real quick about the replacements.
Well, then of course there's Prince, but
I mean, and when Prince, I don't know if you heard anything about what happened in Minneapolis when he died, but the sky turned purple and it rained.
no, seriously?
It
Oh
was,
my God.
I
'Cause
saw it
I
with
have
my own
friends,
eyes. I'm
I
like,
have friends from Minneapolis who they used to talk about like in the 80s, you know, when they were in high school, how Prince would like call the local radio station and be like, "Hey, I need some people to come over so I can practice some stuff." And they'd go over to Paisley Park and he would practice new music and they'd just sit there and listen. And you know, this one friend of mine had said he'd seen Prince so many times because of that. He would just leave school. They'd hear about it and they'd just be like, "We're out of there," you know, which is so
that's awesome.
amazing. But I did not hear that. That's incredible. Of course that happened.
But the so the replacements, he was then later, Slim Dunlap was one of the replacements, and we have a picture of him at Palmer's, and his son used to work at Palmer's for a long time.
Oh,
And
cool.
actually I met his son when I was like 14, and he was playing guitar on a street corner in my hometown. Of like, it's just wild, but now he's a regular at my bar. We know each other. I'm like,
That's
I
kind
met
of
you when
cool.
I was a
Oh, that's cool. See,
kid.
the music
But especially
roots
on the
are
West Bank, there's like all kinds of like Spider John Kerner is another huge name. I don't know if you've heard of him.
different.
Ray, let's see, Kerner, Ray and Glover was the name of his project from like the 60s. He's on like David Bowie's top 25 albums of all time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He still comes into Palmer's every day and drinks a baby blackberry Polish, and actually had one of his guitars put in the wall
What's a
recently.
baby blackberry Polish?
Or
Baby Polish.
blackberry brandy, sorry.
Oh, blackberry
We call
brandy. Okay. And one of his guitars is on display there? That's so amazing. That's
And
incredible.
Charlie Parr is another musician,
I'm familiar with that one.
and he gave one of Spider John gave one of his guitars to Charlie Parr as well.
Wow. Okay. So Spider John is the one that David Bowie recommends, and Charlie Parr has also been endorsed by Spider John. That's amazing. I love that it's still kind of a big city with but small enough town that everybody can interact with each other like that, you know, so freely.
Absolutely. And some newer names. We just played their 2 year anniversary last week. Ice Climber.
Oh,
They're
cool.
very weird,
Yeah.
semi-improvisational. They have some songs too, but like it's pretty wild. When we played with them, they had 17 people on stage.
Oh
They
my
had
God.
my partner was playing with them too. Had a string section, a horn section. It was great, but my ears hurt at the end of the night.
Your
It was like so much
head
sound.
was trying not to explode.
Yeah, I mean, I would list off more bands, but there's so many all the time.
I'm sure. And you work at another music venue, right? Is the other
Yeah, the Hook and Ladder.
what is I'm sorry, Hook and Ladder?
Yep, and that's the old firehouse. It used to be Patrick's Cabaret, which was kind of like a more underground like cabaret place that a lot of people missed, but I never made it to there. But Hook and Ladder is great. They have a lot of great shows, and there's like different venues within the venue. It's
And
pretty
are you
bizarre.
behind the bar there too?
Yep.
Yeah. And so you're bartending in the music venues and you're staying on top of it all, essentially,
Yeah,
that
right. Yeah, kind of, but like it's funny at the Hook and Ladder, I don't really even pay attention. Like I've been trying to get better because I've missed some shows that I really wanted to see. Like I didn't realize Reckless Eric was playing there until the
Oh my
day after.
God. Oh
What? Never coming back, you know?
he might. He still gets around. I'm always surprised whenever I see him like coming through town. I'm like, he's still alive? But I guess there's no reason for him not to be. But take
Yeah, it's funny
advantage
how
while you can.
some musicians you think are like way older than others, but they're not really at all.
I know. Sometimes I
Like
think
when
about
I learned
that.
about Arlo Guthrie, like because my dad loved Arlo Guthrie, and then it was like a while later, I'm like, wait, he's still alive? I'm like, he's not, especially
He's
as a kid, he was not that old.
yeah, totally. I mean, I think about that like in terms of like actors and stuff too. But musicians, it's sort of as they keep going on and I look into it, I'm like, oh, they're only like 5 years older than me. Oh, that's weird. How are they so successful? I was like, when I was 17 and they were 22, I was trying to graduate from high school and not like totally fuck up college, and they were already like on tour, you know? But I guess when you have a calling, you have a calling. So
Yeah, absolutely.
that's really interesting. Well, awesome. So I want to ask you just one more thing about the bartending side, since well, it's kind of a combination of both. I always like to ask people, like, you know, when you're not working, like if you're on the other side of the bar, not the working side, the chilling outside, if you're sitting there, what's something you like listening to while, and something you like drinking? You know, what's your pairing there? Are you having just a beer and listening to Talking Heads? What is it? Or does it depend? Sometimes it depends on the mood or the
So
day.
yeah, my regular like, so I've there's drink specials that Palmer's named after me.
What? Oh, I need to know what that is.
The Zactacular Summertime is a Pacifico and a shot of Hornitos, and in the
Oh,
winter is a High Life and a Jameson.
nice.
And we don't have them anymore, but for a while it was like the winter was a High Life, a Jameson, and a beef stick.
And a beef stick?
Yeah.
That
But
sounds
as far
very
as
well-rounded, Claire. I like that.
I music, I've just been recently trying to delve into just slowly delving into jazz, honestly.
Ooh.
Like
Oh.
Charles Mingus and stuff. Like that's
So would it
oh.
right so right now you might be listening to some Mingus and sipping on something.
That or just some like old country. I like to
I
play really old country.
like it. Well, it sounds like Jameson can work with all of those things.
Yeah. There's a country song that it came in handy the other week because there is a person who I didn't really serve anything, and he was just like falling down all of a sudden, and he was being really rude,
Oh
and I said to my boss who was standing there, it was like, "Where is the door? Look out floor, here I come."
no.
That Sanford Clark song, that's really great. Have you heard it?
I'm sure I have. That sounds so familiar. I love
Where's
that.
the door? Look out floor, here I come.
That sounds like something that should just be playing at the end of the night, anywhere, you know?
Well, my coworker and I recently found out, like, so I always play Happy Trails by Roy Rogers. We never closed together, and he was like, "Yeah, I've been playing this every night and it gets people out real quickly." And I'm like, "You know, I've been playing that for like years." It's like, "I know."
Obviously great minds are all at Palmer's.
Yeah.
Well, this is probably a good place to wrap things up because I love hearing all these stories. I love, you know, old dive bars are just, they're just the best. You know, I used to live next to one when I was in Berkeley, and I used to joke around that it was so dark in there, and it was open at 6 a.m., close at 2 a.m., and it was so dark in there that if you came in from the sunlight, you couldn't see anything, right? You really couldn't see. And even once your eyes adjusted, you still kind of couldn't see anything. And you could try to sit on a stool and accidentally sit on a regular just because it was so dark in there. And you're just like, oh gosh. But usually it was some old guy. And if I did it, they'd be like, that's okay, sweetie. Come on down. You know? So like,
Yeah.
yeah, now I think you owe me a drink.
Yeah.
But I love those spots. I mean, there's always just, there's kind of a comfort in that old smell, you know, just, you know, people just being there, just being themselves and everything. And I loved hearing about it.
Real quick, that reminds
Yeah.
me of, I think it was called Betty's in East Nashville. There's a bar. There's like a house turned into a bar.
Yeah.
So dark in there, and my friends and I were in there, and this guy bought us a drink, and like he was also very like dark, leathery, like tan,
Yeah.
and you couldn't see him until he smiled, and you could see his like white teeth. All you could see.
It's perfect. So is there social media, et cetera, that we should know about for Palmers, for yourself, any of that that you want to
Oh
share?
yeah, all kinds. I'll just give you a
Sweet.
couple. So, you can find Palmer's at, just go to Instagram, Palmer's Bar.
That's it.
Very
Easy enough.
simple. And then me, I know it's complicated sounding, but yeah, Zeke's Art is, you can find several of my accounts on Instagram. Also, so do you want me to spell that one more time?
Spell one for me, yeah.
Yeah. Zeecsart.
ART, Zeke's Art. There we go. There's all the names.
And there's a Zeke's Art Radio Hour Instagram too, I think.
Awesome. There's a whole link tree here. So that's perfect. Perfect. Cool. That works. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Claire. It was really amazing talking with you and talking about, you know, weird music and dive bars. Just they're lovely together, I think.
Thank you, Claire, for meeting with me and having a fun chat about just grimy old bars and weird music. And I know I just said that, but it's true and it's fun. And Claire made us a playlist, little playlist that's over on the Music and Booze with Most Spotify profile. So go check that out. There's some memory jarring stuff for me anyway in there, the kind of in the weirder early college rock vein and more. So go check that out. And thank you, Claire. Honestly, I gotta get to Minneapolis. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, SHEBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.